Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So, in our gospel lesson this morning, we are only 29 verses into the first chapter, and listen to everything that has already happened. John announces Jesus' arrival and baptizes him in what becomes a heaven-tearing declaration. Jesus immediately then goes into the desert where he goes toe-to-toe with Satan. He proclaims the impending reign of God here on earth. Jesus calls the first of his disciples. He then smacks an unclean spirit up alongside of the head, thereby not only healing the poor fellow who was possessed, but inspiring the people of Capernaum to say, "This man speaks with authority." We're barely halfway into the first chapter, and already I feel like I need to sit down and rest. There's this sense of immediacy in Mark's gospel, because Mark is on a mission. He wants to tell this story, he needs to tell this story, and he needs to do it right now. Mark has this message to tell, and he's upfront about what that message is. Mark's opening verse of chapter 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And throughout the whole gospel, we get the sense of urgency from the way that he writes, and it comes across much stronger in the original Greek. I've really yet to come across a good English translation that gets across the way that Mark sounds in Greek, because our passage would sound something like this. This is the Brock transliteration here. Immediately coming out of the synagogue, they went into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Having a fever, Simon's mother-in-law was lying down, and immediately they speak to Jesus concerning her, and having approached her, he raised her by taking her by the hand. The fever left her, and she was serving them. And that's the way that Mark writes. He's very much a lot of bad grammar and run-on sentences, and I know that I said that very fast, and it's kind of hard to understand everything that I'm saying, but it's that sense of ousios, that sense of immediacy that Mark has, this urgency of the entirety of Mark's gospel. Mark uses that word, ethios, that's the Greek word there. He uses it 7 times in the first 28 verses of his gospel. It's best translated as immediately, but more often than not, English translations, they get tired of saying immediately, 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 over and over again. It's used 2 times in our reading yet this morning. Neither of those times they translated it as immediately. The first was as soon as, the second was at once. But that sense of urgency, that desire to tell the gospel story, is a driving force throughout Mark's gospel. So if it's a driving force in Mark's gospel, is it a driving force in your life? Wait, what? I know I said that kind of quickly. And you probably really weren't paying close attention because I was speaking really fast, which happens when I get excited. But you were also probably trying to still get your ears wrapped around my transliteration of the Greek. But then I went and I asked us if our faith has the same sense of urgency that Mark's gospel does. And because I'm fairly certain that this room is pretty much filled with Lutherans, I'm also pretty certain that the answer to that question is no. Because we, as Christians, in the Lutheran tradition, are way more at home with having that firm foundation of faith, a mighty fortress of spirituality, which are well and good things. But fire? Yeah, not so much. There's a reason that Lutherans in the Christian tradition are generally referred to as the frozen chosen, and it's not because we live in central Pennsylvania. But I also think that's why this gospel reading is matched up with our reading from Isaiah. Now, in Isaiah, the author is asking the people of Israel, I'm going to paraphrase this here, Isaiah says, "What's wrong with you folks? Have you forgotten? Weren't you told? Don't you remember what the Lord God Almighty has done for us? How God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not grow faint or grow weary." Because that, I fear, is what all too often happens to us. We forget. We know what God has done for us. us, all of the good things, the positive things that have happened in their lives. We know all the times that we've been staring down illness or grief or sorrow or whatever, and we know that God has been right there with us. But each time we face one of those times anew, we tend to forget the last time when we knew God was with us. And so in this time, we're feeling alone and abandoned, even though in reality, we aren't. Like us, the people of Israel needed to be reminded of God's faithfulness. Because they had lost. They had lost everything to the Babylonians. They had lost their city, their capital, their temple. They had been forced to march hundreds of miles away to settle into a new land, learn new ways, eat new foods, comprehend a new culture, and like really good Lutherans, they were not handling that change very well at all. And just like Jesus dealing with that unclean spirit, Isaiah smacks the people up alongside of the head. Have you not known? Have you not heard? God gives power to the faith and strengthens the powerless. Everybody stumbles, says Isaiah. Youth exhaust themselves. They wear themselves out. But, says Isaiah, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who remember that God walks with them in the good and the bad, in the joyful and the awful, those folks will soar on eagle's wings up above all of the junk in their lives. So when we put these two readings together, Mark and Isaiah, Mark wants us to have this sense of urgency, this fire, this unquenchable fire of faith burning within us. Yet, we know that's what we strive for. We know ourselves, though. And while that immediacy of Mark's gospel might move our hearts, it's probably not so much going to move our minds. And so we look to Isaiah. We remember what God has done for us, how God has been there with us in everything, the good and the bad. And we remind ourselves we are called. We're called by the waters of our baptism. We are called by the bread and wine that we will consume. We are called to do, to act. We are called to serve and reach out and to listen and to love. We are reminded as to how we serve God in everything that we do. We strive for that sense of urgency. And we live in our own now. Whatever that now may be, wherever that now may take us, we pray to God for those wings of an eagle, that we might do our best to soar when we cannot walk, to burn with the fire of faith even when our spirit feels drenched with doubt. We run and do not get weary. We walk and do not faint. Go in God's peace and soar with the wings of an eagle. Amen.